Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges, where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I'm your host, Heather Hansen O'Neill, and we have some great new content coming out, so don't forget to subscribe so that you hear about it right away. Our quote of the day today is, "The real secret to a fabulous life is to live imperfectly with great delight." Now, I cannot for the life of me find out exactly who said this, so we're sticking with anonymous here. But I think it's appropriate, and you're going to find out momentarily why I think it is. So we have a fantastic, energetic, awesome woman as the guest today. Her name is Lisa Dadd, and she has a mission to develop leaders who are radically self-aware, personally accountable, and deeply connected to their purpose and vision. It's a great fit. She spent the first 15 years of her corporate career learning sales, marketing, people management, and operational effectiveness from a top Fortune 100 company. An additional 7 years as an entrepreneur, an intense transformational leadership development program, and experience facilitating emotional intelligence trainings gave Lisa an appreciation for the full power of blending knowledge and skill sets from seemingly divergent areas. Lisa now leverages those experiences, along with elements from her master's degree in kinesiology, to create unique experiential training programs for emerging leaders and business owners. Her enthusiastic, playful spirit provides a fresh perspective and engaging environment that blurs the lines between work and play. She calls it playing your way to greatness. I absolutely love this. A big welcome to Lisa Dadd. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Heather. Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited. We're going to have a lot of fun today. And how about let's just talk about this whole fabulous thing.
Because I love your quote. For you.
What does finding fabulous mean to you?
Well, when I started this whole thing, I realized that I needed a new word for success. Is really where it came from, is that to me, I was interviewing all sorts of people for my book. And when I realized that if we could just, you know, life was pretty good for me. I really couldn't complain in many regards. You know, I had the money, I had the career, I owned two homes, you know, all these things. And I almost felt guilty about it. But I realized that my life didn't feel fabulous. And I was like, it should feel more fabulous. It gets to feel more fabulous. And so it started with that. And then it really became my way of describing a success that included not only money and stature and dealing with all of those things, but also fulfillment and joy and happiness.
Think that is so, so important to kind of differentiate and draw attention to, because a lot of times people think that, you know, I'll be happy and feel fabulous when I'm successful and I have the job I want and the money I want and all of that. But it's simply not the case, because it's only part of the picture. And so fabulous for you is that fulfillment side too, right?
Definitely. Yeah. I just thought we could wake up every morning and love our life. And although life isn't always, you know, full of joy and happiness, we've got sadness and we've got challenges. We have fear, as you well know. It overall feeling is that I want to feel fabulous in the life that I'm living. Right. And so that's where it came from. And I went on this journey to find my own fabulous.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I know that you have an awesome story that I can't wait for you to share with our listeners. But I want to ask you a question first, because I've spent a lot of time very recently, in particular, talking to people about their purpose and their passion. So I know you're very passionate, and you strive purposely toward that. So how did you go about finding your passion? And do you have any ideas to help people who simply just don't know yet? They feel like they should know their purpose, and they don't yet.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is don't get stuck up on the word purpose or passion. That's the very first thing people need to do, because language is really important. And I found that individuals attach different meanings to different words. Sometimes people get stuck literally just because purpose feels so big and so daunting that it's like, or and passion does as well. And so someone's like, well, I'm passionate about my kids. I don't know if I'm passionate about anything else. Okay. So that just might not be the lingo for you. And that's the first tip that I would give people. The other thing is that, you know, my sister, I was in the middle of writing my book and my sister said exactly what you just said was, I feel like I should want to go find my purpose, but I just kind of don't. Is there something wrong? Like, it was almost like there was something wrong with her. Yeah. Now, my sister is someone who changed degrees, I don't know how many times in university, and she really didn't know what she wanted to do. So she ended up as a school teacher. She's an elementary school teacher. Now, the funny thing is she always wanted to play school when we were kids, and she always had to be the teacher, right? She's older. So she's like, always got to be the teacher and boss me around, right? And she lights up when she's talking about her students. And when her friends and her get together, they just, the way they talk, you know, they are passionate teachers. So part of that also is for people that, you know, like her, that's like, you're actually maybe already doing your passion. And so sometimes it's not specifically the job that is the problem. And sometimes, you know, we can't go into all of those things right now. But I would first of all say, don't look for don't get stuck on the words. Recognize what already feels really good in your life. And then expand, I would say expand your vocabulary to look at things like, what fascinates me? What am I curious about? What's super interesting to me? What am I also irritated by? What really annoys me more than annoys anybody else? Sometimes almost an emotion that we think of as negative is like, well, how is my irritation related to my passion? Well, yeah. Let's look at it. Why are you so irritated about it? Maybe there's something in there for you that could be really a passionate solution for this, you know?
I absolutely love this because, it's something that I just learned something right now. I've already gotten my aha moment because I use the terms passion and purpose a lot because I feel them deeply. But you're right. There are people that it just doesn't resonate with them. And so they need to try different words. And I love curious. I mean, when you come from a curious state, you're gonna ask different questions and you're going to be able to find ways to engage with that curiosity. And I absolutely love that. That's great stuff. So you mentioned blurring the lines between work and play. And I do this all the time. People are like, you're working, you can expense that. And I'm like, seriously, I can. So talk to me about what that means to you.
Yeah. Well, it means a couple things to me. It does sometimes mean exactly what you're saying is that I'll be working and people are going, this counts as work. but there's an energy to it, right? It's playing your way to greatness and blurring that line between work and play is, can we find ways of being and can we blend some of the things that we really are interested in with the way we work potentially. So for entrepreneurs, it's a little bit easier, although not everybody does it. You know, the question is, are you stuck in front of your computer every single day? And eventually at what point does the joy get sucked out of that? So the phrase came up to me probably because I used to have a yellow Labrador named Leo, and we would be out walking and hiking, and usually it would happen. I would be trying to write a blog or get inspired for a program I was working on, and I'd get stuck. And my dog would literally hit me with his paw and look at, you know, he'd look at me. And it was like, he was my little savior, right? Because he would be like, it's time to play. And so I'd be like, okay, you know what? I'm not getting anywhere anyway. And so when I was out in California, we'd do a lot of hiking. And what would inevitably happen is I'm out playing with my dog. I'm out in the mountains and I'm climbing and I'm getting some physical energy and I'm having some fun. And all of a sudden, my best ideas would pop in my head. I used to do a lot of my Facebook Lives from the mountain, not because I wanted to say, ha ha, I'm on the mountain in the middle of the day. But it was more because I would be lit up and excited and creative in those moments. And so, again, I'm thinking I'm taking a break from work, but I actually just put myself in an environment where my creativity got stirred. So yeah, that's kind of where I was like, am I working? Am I playing? I just got my best idea here. It's kind of work, right? So that's where it initially started from.
I think it's fantastic. And it happens to me every single time. If I get stuck, if I'm writing or I'm doing something and I'm kind of getting stuck, I will go outside. Most of the time it's for a run or a walk or kayaking or something. But I always come back with a new perspective on it. And so I think it's brilliant. And for people to acknowledge that it's actually a strategy and not a cop out. because it so is. I like there was one time where I came back from a run and I literally wrote like half of a book. It was ridiculous.
We all get inspired by different things. So you and I obviously are physical, right? The physical movement will do that for us. For someone else, it just might be, I wrote a blog one time about my dog, and my dog was so much happier off leash or on a long leash, that he, a retractable leash, because he needed the space and the energy to go at his own pace. You know, he was a puppy and he was always pulling. And so I think of individuals. So someone out there is saying, well, I'm not a hiker. Or I don't like to go for a run. It's like, okay, but what is it for you? Is what is more playful for you? Is it that instead of being on your computer, you need a giant piece of paper and some crayons or markers that allow you to just scribble away? So just, again, opening the boundaries and not being so rigid about how you do something is let yourself play with it, you know, and what will come out of that?
And acknowledging the differences. I love that you pointed that out, because people have different ways that they get into the zone, and to know your style, the time of the day when you have the most energy and the least energy, and everything about what makes you unique, you can use that to your advantage when it comes to this creative process. That's great advice. Okay, now I'm going to get into something else here. Of course, I always do this. So, this is called From Fear to Fire. So I have to ask you, my listeners love the personal story. So I think you have a personal story, and I'm sure you do, but would you like to share something that you've gone through that was a particularly fearful or difficult challenge, but that on the other side of it, you can look back and say, oh my gosh, I learned this amazing lesson. Do you have anything like that that you'd like to share?
You know, I think that the moment that I chose to walk away from my corporate career was probably the biggest one. It was definitely the most influential in my life. Mm-hmm. And I would say that it's interesting, because I simultaneously felt fear and fire.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, when I let myself embrace the fear of it is when the rest of it came up. And so I'll tell you, it was a moment. I was standing in my kitchen. I can vividly remember it because it was so visceral. And I was really debating on what to do with my career, because my company was going through all sorts of changes, and we were sitting around waiting for the higher ups to make some decisions. It was painfully toxic for everybody. And I realized that when everybody else was afraid of losing their jobs, I was afraid of keeping mine.
Oh, yeah.
It was like hashtag truth bomb. And all of a sudden I was like, if I don't even want this job, why am I afraid of someone else making the choice for me? Why don't I just take it? Now, of course, in that moment was like, well, then what would I do? And then how would I survive? And da, 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 da. And literally was, I could just go. And when I said that to myself, it's almost like I heard a voice from somewhere else that said, you could just go. And I was like, oh my gosh, I could go. And so in that moment, of course, I was afraid of not knowing what was on the other side of that. But simultaneously, it opened up all the possibilities of what could be on the other side of it.
That's brilliant. And I know that a lot of the clients that I work with that have lost their jobs and thought it was the absolute worst travesty ever can come back now and say, oh my gosh, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. But you had the realization that you can control it, and that you saw it before it happened to you, which is really, really cool.
Well, and you bring up a huge point, because at the same time, I had some very good friends and that were colleagues of mine, and a couple of them were actually miserable with the way the job was going, the way the company was going. They were miserable, and I could see it. And I always kind of wondered what it was. It was obviously just my tipping point, but a few of them actually lost their jobs at that time. And what I realized is watching them was that they lost a few months for healing their ego, if you will, because, you know, it was the best choice for them. And they eventually came around to that, but because they chose not to step into the fear of the unknown in that moment, they let someone else make the choice for them. And the choice ended up being the same. It's just that they then had to heal from the fact that it wasn't their choice. Right.
Oh, that is a really good point. Yep.
So wow. There's something about embracing the fact that you can, you know, that we make choices and are we allowing other people to make them because we're afraid? So the fear is not really, the circumstance is not really different. It's just that, you know, it's like, okay, it's less scary if I have someone else do it, right? And then I can blame them, or get stuck in the cycle of the poor me part of it, right? It's like, sometimes what if we just stepped into the fire ourselves, and then we can deal with everything. We're just at a different mindset. Then we can say, okay, I chose this. Let's go, you know, right, let's make it work.
And that's there's where no one left to blame. Yeah, I love it. Oh my gosh. So I think that that's a key point is for people to understand is that you get to choose, and that the more that you release your attachment to other people's decisions and consciously choose yours, the freer you get in your life.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And let's also acknowledge that I'm not saying this is an easy thing to do.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down going, yay, I'm going to quit my job. And my, you know, I'm single with no children. And some people said that was easier because of that. And they didn't recognize, well, I don't have a husband who could pay the mortgage either. Right. Mm-hmm. Like the only person doing that was me. So let's recognize that the fear is real. It's not that it's like you just, okay, I'm good to go. And there was no fear after that. There is fear. And you know, sometimes it's really just embracing it. And often I think our imaginations are really good and really strong. And so what we can envision would be the horrible situation takes over. And often I ask clients, okay, you've what if'd all the bad things? What if I can't pay my mortgage? What if I can't find anything I love to do? What if nobody wants to hire me because I'm 50 years old? And I'm like, okay, awesome. Those are all the what if negatives. Let's what if the positives. Yeah. What if you find something you're so thrilled about, you want to work till you're 90? What if you make twice as much money? What if you inspire other people to do it too? You know, so it's just, it's not a matter of not acknowledging your what ifs in the negative. It's, can we also just what if some positives?
Fantastic strategy. I absolutely love that. Now, you were able to kind of work through the fear. You felt it and you did it anyway. But some people really get stuck by their fears. And yeah. Do you notice that in people? And do you have advice to help them through that?
Well, first of all, I would say we all do. I wouldn't say some people. We all get stuck in our fears. I think the difference is how long we stay there.
Yeah.
And the more we embrace it, right, this is what's worked for me. This is what I realize. And I'm realizing it even now. There's a big, big vision I'm manifesting right now and working through right now. And some days I wake up in extreme fear. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm celebrating is that often I can shift that energy quite quickly. Whereas in the past, I might have stayed there for a week, maybe even a month, and done nothing. Whereas now maybe I only stay in it for a day, sometimes an hour, sometimes 5 minutes. So it's not a matter of, do we get stuck with our fear and start spiraling on the what ifs? It's, can we train ourselves to bounce out of it? And when I say ourselves, don't mistake in the fact that I believe that we need to do it ourselves, because there's a whole piece about support and what we surround ourselves with in order to do that. But I want people to just recognize you're in your fear. That is when you acknowledge it and say, wow, I'm paralyzed by my fear right now. Acknowledge it first. That's the very first piece of it. And we're working on just bouncing out of it quicker.
I think that's great. And there you put so many things just in that one little thing. You got the accountability, collaboration, who you surround yourself with piece. You've got the own it piece. You've got the how much time you spend there piece. Like, that's it right there. Fantastic. But you know what I do want you to share before anything else is your story that I was originally drawn to in talking with you, because I'm a bit of a climber. So can you tell the story that you know I want you to tell right now?
sure. So this story is about how I came to decide to climb to the base camp of Mount Everest. And I never would have thought that I would do something like that. Where it came from was, it actually came from feeling really disconnected and not really a lot of joy, and feeling like I didn't have a lot of challenges in my life. Like I was literally comfortably numb going around my life, where it was like, it was that space of like, things should feel more fabulous, right? And so I'd realized that things had gotten a bit easy, too easy for me. In fact, easy sounds like a good thing. Easy is not. It's boring and it's stifling. And there was no fire, if you will. Let's use your language. There's no fire. And so I had an opportunity to go on a fundraising hike that was to the base camp of Mount Everest. And when it came across my computer, I was like, oh my gosh, could I really do that? Like the fear came up immediately. It's 2 weeks on this mountain. It's, you know, 17,600 feet of altitude. Like the idea of it was kind of scary, right? All of a sudden the images of all the Everest movies. Now, we weren't summiting, but all the summiting horror stories, of course, came back to me. And I thought, what would this look like? And so I almost didn't do it because I had that fear. I love hiking, but I was like, eh, maybe not that one. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh my gosh, I'm actually looking for something to light me up. And if I'm afraid of this, maybe that's exactly the reason I should do it. Right now, should. Let's not say should. I don't like shitting on anybody or myself. That's a reason I could do it. I could. And if I'm, and this is the thing I love about the reflection of me actually choosing to do that, is now when I work with clients, I invite them to choose a scary thing to do that is also fairly safe. Right. Like at the time, I hadn't left my corporate career yet. So I was going into this scary unknown, climbing this mountain, giving myself a little bit of fear and a bit of a challenge. But it was safe in some regards. Like, of course, there's lots of dangers on the mountain, but I was going with a group and it was a very specific destination. And there were some pieces to it that made it a kind of a safe fear, if you will, safe challenge. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, you know, quitting my job and going, I have no idea what I'm going to do, is there's a lot more unknowns in that one, I will say. So, you know, that's what I encourage people, is like, can you find something to do that actually scares you? And it's almost like going to the gym to exercise a muscle. The more things that we choose to do that frighten us, the more that it's the perfect training. Because what I realized is I'm a survivor. Because when I got to the top of that mountain, I was altitude sick. I hadn't eaten in 3 days. I was depleted. I literally almost crawled there. And when I got to the base camp, I fell onto the ground. I'm propped up with my backpack. And I'm sitting there feeling hollow and dehydrated and malnourished. And so I'm happy I got where I thought I was going.
Yeah.
And I all of a sudden had this huge aha moment, because I had been trying to get to this base camp. And I had this huge aha moment as I'm sitting there. And how it came to me was another fear, was, holy moly, I still have a week to get off this mountain.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I can barely walk, and I got a week to go off this mountain, get off this mountain. And when it sort of dawned on me, and you know, from my TED talk, that I had this aha moment of, this is just the turning point. Like, nobody stays at base camp. You know, here I am like trudging, getting to this place, and nobody stays at base camp. It's simply a turning point. And the moment I realized it was a turning point, it was like, now I know what to do. Turn. Right? Like in the moment I decided that, I don't even know where it came from, energy filled my body and I could start going down the mountain. And now it was still lots of ways to get down there, but just that moment. And so because I chose that fear and that challenge, when it was time to leave my career and I was thinking, this is where I thought it was going to be, this is where I thought I'd feel amazing, I was like, but it's just a turning point. And it just gave me this, because again, I was exercising this muscle of, yeah, I'm afraid of climbing the mountain, and that's why I'm going to do it.
Exactly. I love that. And that is something that you do mention in your TEDx talk, and you call them the most liberating words that you'll ever say, right? So that, yeah. Just elaborate just a little bit more about why they're so liberating. I mean, yeah. I can feel it already, but if you can help people a little bit more.
Sure. It's kind of what you had mentioned already, is that people sometimes get stuck in our fears. And yeah. So, as I said, you know, sometimes I can get out of mine in 5 minutes or an hour. That's definitely through training. But the reason why I say it's liberating is because when we're stuck in fear and it feels very paralyzing, the word that came up over and over again in the people I interviewed for the book was, I felt trapped. I felt confined. I felt like I had no options. And so the moment we can literally say, what if this is just a turning point? Like, what if I got all of this that of my life that has led me here is simply a turning point? It no longer feels like a dead end. Mm. It's like, oh, wait a second. Turning point is, it's an action. I got to turn. If I choose, and as you know, my TEDx talk continues to say, you don't have to even know what the right direction is. You just have to know what the right now direction is, mm-hmm. which gets you that next step, which gets you out of being paralyzed, which takes you away from the dead end. And it puts you in movement, in action towards something else. With the freedom, the liberation part is, once you get there, if you go, nope, this isn't it either. Awesome. Another turning point. Turn. Right? It doesn't have to be so dire.
I love it. And this is so important now more than ever, because in today's world there's a lot less longevity in our jobs now than ever before. The likelihood of people being in 7-10 different careers is incredibly high. So this is a really important point for you listeners to get from Lisa, that it's liberating, it's freeing to look at these transitions as turning points and to generate that energy that's attached to the action of that. It's very freeing. Excellent, excellent. That is so cool.
Can we add one more point to that as well?
Of course.
The other piece is that we're all living longer. So
yes.
In the past, when people used to retire at the age of 60 or even 65, people are retiring now with so much more energy, vitality, and life left. I mean, the number of centenarians, people over the age of 100, is just growing exponentially. So the other piece of the turning point is, not that I suggest everybody stay in their situation until they're 65, but the question, even if you do, you got a lot of life to live after that. What are you going to do for the next 30, 40, 50 years? And so when we get used to the fact that, oh, new chapter, right? It's just another way of saying it, is that, you know, this chapter may last 40 years or it may last 4 years.
Wow, that's a really good point. And as I'm coming upon a large birthday, all of those bigger numbers seem so much smaller than they ever used to.
Yeah. Well, now I can work with entrepreneurs who are starting a new business at the age of 70. Yeah. And they don't even blink about it because they're on their path to still enjoying their life and finding their own version of fabulous.
Yeah, I have, well, like one of my favorite clients, he started one of my coaching programs at 87. He started because he wanted to find his fire about this new idea he had. I'm nice. Like, you're amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's no limits. I think that I have absolutely enjoyed everything that you've said, and I know that our listeners have gotten a lot out of it. So my next question is, how can they get more? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So you can find me at lisadad.com, and it's D-A-double-D for those of you that want to find that me that way. That's the easiest way to find my book on Amazon too, is to just type my name in. The book is called Finding Fabulous, Paving the Path Between Paycheck and Passion. Lots of stories in there of people going after and going through their own fears to find their fabulous. And on the website, you can actually get a free digital copy. So if you want to just read a little bit more about some of the stories and hear about some of the ways that I help people navigate this ambiguity of finding their own fabulous, then you can look there. That's probably the easiest.
I think that's fantastic. And, you know, great title. I love that title. That's fantastic. Now, Lisa has been kind enough to offer a special gift for our listeners. So she has offered a free 30-minute strategy session. I'm going to put the link in the show notes so you guys, and I'll also put, Lisa, I'll put your website there as well.
Perfect. Yeah.
So that they can find you and a little bit more about the book and the free 30-minute strategy session so that you guys can work with Lisa to help create your uniquely fabulous lifestyle business. I mean, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. Did you have any final parting words of wisdom?
Final words of wisdom is to consider that fear is a gift. And it, I love that your show is called From Fear to Fire. I think they intermingle more often than not. So recognizing fear as a gift, it's like in there somewhere is the fire.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Thank you, Lisa. This has been phenomenal, and I really appreciate your time with us today.
You're welcome. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks. Have a great one.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.